I cannot, said Dirk, as yet, though it interests me strangely.
I should think it bloody did. It would have interested you strangely if you'd had to get the bloody thing down a bloody winding staircase at 1 o'clock in the morning as well. What the hell are you doing here? Said Sergeant Gilkes, wearily.
I am here, said Dirk, in pursuit of justice.
Well, I wouldn't mix with me then, said Gilkes, and I certainly wouldn't mix with the Met. What do you know of Macduff and Way?
Of Way? Nothing beyond what is common knowledge. Macduff I knew at Cambridge.
Oh, you did you? Describe him.
Tall. Tall and absurdly thin, and good-natured, a bit like a praying mantis that doesn't pray. A non-praying mantis, if you like, a sort of pleasant, genial mantis that's given up praying and taken up tennis instead.
Hmm, said Gilkes gruffly, turning away and looking about the room.
Dirk pocketed the tape.
Sounds like the same one, said Gilkes. And of course, said Dirk, completely incapable of murder. That's for us to decide.
And, of course, a jury.
Tcha! Juries!
Though, of course, it will not come to that, since the facts will speak for themselves long before it comes to a court of law for my client.
Your bleeding client, eh? All right, Chaley, where is he?
I haven't the faintest idea.
I'll bet you got a billing address.
Dirk shrugged.
Look, Chaley, this is perfectly normal, harmless murder inquiry, and I don't want you mucking it up, so consider yourself warned off as of now. If I see a single piece of evidence being levitated, I'll hit you so hard you won't know if it's tomorrow or Thursday. Now get out and give me that tape on the way.
He held out his hand. Dirk blinked, genuinely surprised.
What tape? Gilk sighed. You're a clever man, Chaley, I grant you that, he said. But you make the same mistake a lot of clever people do of thinking everyone else is stupid. If I turn away, it's for a reason, and the reason was to see what you picked up.
I didn't need to see you pick it up, I just had to see what was missing afterwards.
We are trained, you know. We used to get half an hour observation training on Tuesday afternoons, just as a break after 4 hours solid of senseless brutality.
Dirk hid his anger with himself behind a light smile. He fished in the pocket of his leather overcoat and handed over the tape.
Play it, said Gilkes. Let's see what you didn't want us to hear.
It wasn't that I didn't want you to hear it, said Dirk, with a shrug. I just wanted to hear it first.
He went over to the shelf which carried Richard's hi-fi equipment and slipped the tape into the cassette player.
So, do you want to give me a little introduction?
It's a tape, said Dirk, from Susan Way's telephone answering machine. Way apparently had this habit of leaving long...
Yeah, I know about that, and his secretary goes around picking up his prattlings in the morning, poor devil.
Well, I believe there may be a message on the tape from Gordon Way's car last night.
Oh, I see. Okay, play it.
With a gracious bow, Dirk pressed the play button.
Oh, Susan, hi, it's Gordon, said the tape once again. Just on my way to the cottage.
Cottage, exclaimed Gilkes satirically.
It's Thursday night, and it's 8:47, bit misty on the road. Listen, I have those people from the States coming over this weekend.
Gilkes raised his eyebrows, looked at his watch, and made a note on his pad. Both Dirk and the police sergeant experienced a chill as the dead man's voice filled the room.
It's a wonder I don't end up dead in the ditch. That'll be something, wouldn't it, leaving your famous last words on somebody's answering machine? There's no reason...
They listened in a tense silence as the tape played on through the entire message.
That's the problem with crunchheads. They have one great idea that actually works, and then they expect you to carry on funding them for years while they sit and calculate the topographies of their navels. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop and close the boot properly. Won't be a moment.